G'day and welcome to our last midweek podcast in the 2017 What About series. Today we're going to be talking about the question, what about other religions? We tackled this on the weekend in the main message, and you can have a listen to that if you haven't already, which will provide the context for the questions that we respond to today. And thank you so much for asking questions along the way in this five-week series. You can go back and listen to any of the messages in the What About series. The best place to head is whataboutseries.com for all of the links to the downloads and the midweek podcasts and the book as well for the 2016 series and the 2017 series, and our plan is to put all of this together and then republish and relaunch the book, which will have everything in it, so look forward to that. But for today, let's jump into these last questions in our last topic for this year, what about other religions? The first thing I wanted to talk about was one of my own questions, which I didn't answer on the weekend, which was what about the decline of Christianity in Australia? What does it mean that statistically Christianity is on the decline in Australia? What does that mean? What does it mean for Christians and the church? And it's helpful to remember what I did say on Sunday is that around the world, Christianity is not on the decline. Statistically, globally, Christianity is continuing to increase as it has done since the beginning, since Jesus began the church and launched the church with his death and resurrection. But in Australia, it is declining, and it quite quick rates. So compared to 1966, when 88% of Aussies said they were Christians, now in 2016, last year's census, Christianity was down to 52% of Aussies. So that's quite a steep decline, 30% difference over many years, but a big change. And that can be a little scary and a little disconcerting because of the changing mood towards Christianity. You might notice this and feel this. It's not cool to be a Christian. In fact, it can be hard to be a Christian. Christianity and Christian points of views often aren't listened to by friends, by the media, and on social media as well. It can feel really different. And one of the main ways I noticed this personally was a couple of years ago when I went to the US. And we were traveling, myself and a group of pastors, visiting churches. And so you bump into different people and you meet different people at restaurants or on trains or planes or whatever. And people would ask you what you're doing and where you're from. And so we tell them, oh, we're from Australia and we're visiting churches. And the response was always positive and usually followed up with, oh, I go to this church, or I used to go to this church, or, oh, that's really great. Compared to the response in Australia when I tell people that I'm a pastor, and it's usually met by awkward silence or, oh, that's interesting, and very, very rarely with someone's personal connection with faith or church. And so this happened all the way through America, this positive response, and I jumped on the plane on Qantas to fly back to Brisbane and sat next to an Aussie couple, and they asked the question, and straight away we were back to that normal Aussie response of indifference or apathy or sometimes negativity. So it is changing in Australia, but this is not such a bad thing. As Christianity moves to the margins in Australia, it means that the church is going back to where it was in the early days, because the church started on the margins of society. In the Jewish world, under Roman oppression that Jesus lived and died and rose in where the early church started, Christians were looked down on by everybody, by Jews and by Romans. And they started on the margins and grew exponentially on the margins. Christianity doesn't actually go so well when it's at the center and when it's in the place of power in society. It doesn't go that well. There's not really any such thing as a Christian nation that makes Christian decisions. Individuals can be Christians, and Christians can shape the culture and the values of a nation. But Christianity, as we talked about on Sunday, is about a relationship with Jesus. It's a personal thing. And so Christianity declining in Australia and being moved to the margins is okay. Jesus is continuing to build his church, as he said that he would way back in Matthew chapter 16, that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not conquer it or prevail against it. And so a changing Australia is okay. It's can be difficult, it can be sad, but it's going to be okay. If you look across history and across the whole world, Jesus is still building his church. As changing Australia presents different challenges for Christians and for the church, but it's going to be okay. Someone asked the question via SMS on Sunday, do you think it's stubborn when talking about the truth behind Christianity in comparison to other religions? And for sure, if I'm hearing that question right, it can sound stubborn and hard-headed to say, well, Christianity is right and here's why. Which is why I prefaced the message on the weekend to say that I was speaking from a Christian point of view, not presuming that everybody in the room was a Christian or listening online is a Christian, but this is what I believe and what we as a church believe about Christianity. And look, if we didn't believe that it was right and true and that it made such a difference in our lives and for everybody, then we probably wouldn't believe it. I have such strong convictions about who Jesus is and what he means for my life, for your life, and for the world. And so for sure, that does sound stubborn compared to other religions or other points of view. But if I didn't believe that, I probably wouldn't believe it. It wouldn't make any difference in my life or how I live my life. So I do have strong convictions about Christianity, but I'm very sensitive in the way that I present those, because even though I hold them strongly, it's not my job to enforce them on other people. It's my job to be a witness to them, a witness to Jesus, and to explain them and share them. But what other people believe is up to them. So I can always do it gracefully, always do it with love, and not be stubborn in the way I talk about it when I'm speaking with others. Someone else asked a question about what about a response to what happens to those who haven't heard of Christ? So I spoke from 1 John 5:21 about the passage that says that whoever has the Son, Jesus, has life, but whoever does not have God's Son, Jesus, does not have life. So what about people who've never heard about God's Son, who've never heard about Jesus and never had the chance to respond to him? We understand from the Bible and the New Testament, as the Apostle Paul explored this in Romans, that even by God's creation, that creation pointing to God leaves people with no excuse about the existence of God. And so even if you were in a tribe in the middle of nowhere and never heard the name of Jesus, never heard the good news about Jesus, then there is still, in God's sense, no excuse for the existence of God. And so we might not fully understand that, but we believe that God is gracious. He loves people and he is just. And so with whatever revelation or understanding or opportunity people have to respond to God and to live in a life in response to him, then that's what he will make his judgment on. And so if Jesus has been a possibility, if Jesus has been someone that people have had the opportunity to respond to, then that's what God's decision and God's judgment will be based on, is what people have done with Jesus. Someone else asked the question specifically about other religions because I made a distinction about some fringe groups or cults like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. They said, what about Seventh-day Adventists, in or out, is how they phrased the question. And that's a really good question, because it comes down to those essentials, non-essentials. And it's on the essentials that as Christians we have to agree, and we do agree. Look, I don't know heaps about Seventh-day Adventists. I have some good friends who are Seventh-day Adventists, and I consider them brothers and sisters in Christ and consider them part of the church. And so in that sense, I would say in. I think it's fair to say that SDAs, or Seventh-day Adventists, have some particular views about non-essentials. So they have strong views about some non-essentials that I wouldn't agree with or I wouldn't enforce. But on the essentials, I understand that we agree. And that's why, as well, on Sunday I made the comment about Catholics too, that we would consider in general Catholics to be part of the church. And I recognize throughout history and even sometimes today that there's a lot of variation in the Catholic Church, that the Protestant Reformation came out in response to the Catholic Church, who were not teaching that salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus. And there is variation within the Catholic Church, but in general, and say what I understand of the teachings of Pope Francis is that Catholics are part of the church and are brothers and sisters in Christ. And finally, the last question, a bit of a longer one. Someone said, for example, a case study. If we're talking about our response to all people, including people of other religions, as loving them, and loving Hindus and loving Sikhs and loving Muslims, this person asks, I see a Muslim man, for example, as my neighbor, and I'd be a good friend for him as I would for anyone else, but should there be some boundaries I don't cross? So I'd help him paint his house, but should I help him paint his mosque? I'd help him create a website, but what if it was to be used to promote Islam? What are some principles that can guide me in establishing boundaries with people in other religions? That's a great question. And I feel ill-equipped to speak to the examples and the hypotheticals because I think each situation is different. You know, I think as we are faithful to God as Christian people, and as we trust Him and we ask Him for discernment, that God will lead us to perhaps respond in love in different ways at different times. That love is always the approach, but the specific decision and the wisdom and the discernment around that, that God's Spirit leads us differently in different scenarios. There's perhaps another helpful passage, though, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head here to try and find it and quote it. I believe it's 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul makes the comment that we shouldn't be unequally yoked as Christians. And so what he means is we shouldn't be partnered as Christians, as people of light, in his words, with people of darkness. And so usually people jump to that to mean marriage, that a Christian should marry a Christian. But I think it's a much wider phrase. That means, you know, when we enter into partnerships with people, when we partner in business or in life, or we commit to one another, we should be careful that our commitments spiritually are compatible. It's 2 Corinthians 6:14. I just had a quick look up while I'm speaking. And that can be a helpful one to consider because there is an aspect that we can show love, but we do sometimes need to be careful when we make partnerships and we commit to other people because it can be a compromise to our faith sometimes when we are unequally yoked. So that can be a helpful thing to consider. But, you know, a lot of the time as the Apostle Paul unpacks this stuff, and his example is about food sacrifice to idols. And, you know, there's spiritual considerations that he enters into, and there's behavior and love considerations. There's an example and a modeling for other Christian considerations, all things we need wisdom on and discernment on. But ultimately, a lot of it comes down to a matter of conscience. Before God, with this decision, God, I have this decision before me as I relate to my friend of another religion, and I'm not sure what to do. Would you help me and lead me that the Holy Spirit will speak to you as you ask Him? He will give you wisdom when you ask, and He will often lead you through your conscience as a matter of conviction or a matter of peace about what you should do. So I believe, as a general approach, with everything, as we approach our friends of any religion or of no religion or no faith, we should always be loving. Love your neighbor, love your enemies even. But how we do that and what we do, if we are asking God and trusting Him and looking for His wisdom and discernment, that He will lead us. And sometimes that will be exactly what we expected, and sometimes it will surprise us. Because like I said, there are a whole bunch of factors that we need wisdom and discernment on, spiritually, culturally, an example for others, and a matter of God leading us through our conscience. I hope that's helpful. What I'm going to do as I post this midweek podcast is link to a few other resources, articles, books, things like that, that you can go to for some specific resources, perhaps on some religions and some general approach. But I hope and pray this whole series has been helpful for you, this whole What About series. Thank you so much for your questions, and I pray that it's helped you grow in your faith, but also helped you bring light in your conversations and the way that you live. Thanks for joining us.